So as the title indicates, I want to take a look at the definition and the practicalities of tefillah from the perspectives of Brisk and Breslov, which might strike you at first as sort of a contradiction in terms. We're going to see that living at the corner of Brisk and Breslov is actually a very good place to live and a very rich place to understand tefillah. Because one of the problems that we deal with when we try to think about tefillah deeply is that we're not, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we might wonder which one it is. Will the real tefillah please stand up? Because on the one hand, if you think of what tefillah is, you think about a sitter. If it's Yom time, you think about a big machzer, a lot of words to say, and you stand and you sit, and this you say by yourself, out loud and quietly, with a tzibur, without the tzibur, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, a lot of text, a lot of things to say. A lot of recitation. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we think about tefillah. We think about talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying Tehillim, there's something on my mind, I'm going to whisper a prayer to Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we stop and think about it, we've thought about both of those images as sketches of what tefillah is, and they seem like they're very, very different from each other. So as I said before, will the real tefillah please stand up? That's one big problem. And then Bechlal, we often struggle with what it means to have Kavanah and Davening, and how to have Kavanah and Davening. And we have dreams that perhaps suffer not only from it's difficult to get it done, we might not even have a very clear sense of what it is that we're trying to do. What would a great tefillah look like? And it could be if we these two questions can, in a sense, answer each other. And they answer each other in the following way. As is so often the case, we've seen throughout the year in different sugyas, oftentimes, we know the way Torah Shel Peh is built is that oftentimes asking small questions can lead to very big answers. And often trying to work on the details of a nuance in text can open up not only the teretz to the detailed question, but can open up big, big vistas. So let's take a look at that right now. Let's take a look at a steer that Tosfos raises between two gemaras. We're going to dive into the details of the halachas of kavana b'tefillah, and from there hopefully we'll come to not only a exciting yishuv of the kasha, but also hopefully a tool that will allow us to be miyashuv other kashas and to wrap our arms around our practical issues with tefillah. So there are two prakim masechas brachas about tefillah. The first three prakim brachas about kriyashma, and then from the sixth parak and on are about brachas on food and other types of brachas, but the prakim 4 and 5 are about tefillah. And remember that in the language of Chazal, tefillah means specifically Shmon Esrei. So let's begin with the Gemara at the very end of the fourth parak, the first of the two prakim about tefillah. Daf Lamed Amud Beis. If you have the Maror Mekom, this is top right. Gemara Daf Lamed Beis tells a story. B'chir bar Abba, a second generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan. B'chir bar Abba Tzali v'hadar Tzali. He davened Shmon Esrei, and then he davened Shmon Esrei again. He repeated Shmon Esrei. So Reb Zeira is there. Reb Zeira was an Amora, a younger Amora, who had actually been born in Bavel. He had made Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole separate story for a different time. Maybe for Chodesh Iyar, the Gemara Ender Ksubas talks about his struggles with leaving yeshiva and chutz la'aretz to come to Eretz Yisrael. Some of you guys have other types of struggles leaving the chutz la'aretz to go learn, find the next yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira says, my time of it, Mar Hachi. If Zeira starts clarifying, why did the Rebbe daven Shmon Esrei twice? What was that about? Ilei Mishum Lokivin Mar Daite. Could it be that the Rebbe didn't have kavana? Could it be that B'chir bar Abba's first Shmon Esrei was unfit, was invalid, because he said the words, didn't have kavanah? Could that be? A Jew always has to be modeed himself. You always have to measure yourself. You have to self-assess before Shmon Esrei. If I think I can have kavanah, then dive into tefillah. But if I'm not ready to have kavanah, I can't be mispal. You can't be mispal without kavana. Kavana is ma'akev in tefillah. And it's true that if you did say a tefillah without kavana, you would have to repeat. But it's hard to imagine that Bechir Barabba would have made that mistake. He would have been moded himself. He would have recognized in advance he wasn't yet ready. They need to focus before beginning Shemoneh Esrei. So it can't be the pshat. He says, nah, it must be, it was a technical thing. It must be that he didn't mention Rosh Chodesh. It must be Rosh Chodesh. He didn't mention Yalav Yavo. And that gets the Gemara into a technical conversation of when do you go back for Yalav? When do you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you left the Yalav Yavo? And when not? But it's clear from the rejected Havamina, the Gemara makes it clear. Certainly, it's true that if you were to have been Mispalo Akavani, you would have to be Chozer Mispalo. And that sounds like that's universal, with no exceptions, no limitations. Tefillah without kavana, there's nothing to talk about. That's the Gemara on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the very end, the last Amud of the fourth parak. Now, let's fast forward to Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the last Amud of the fifth parak. Gemara, there's a Mishnah on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, then right after, a line after the Mishnah, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara quotes a Braisa in the second line of the Gemara. HaMispalel, Sar Shechames, Leva Bekula. And a Jew is davening. A Jew is davening Shemoneh Esrei. So you have to have Kavana. And really, you ought to have Kavana Bechulan with all of them. All of what? I mean, all of the brachos. All the 18, 19 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. You have to have Kavana in every single one. Ve'im en yochel l'chavenes Bechulan. But let's say you can't. He's not asking too much. I'd love to. I'm too disoriented, too distracted. It's going to be hard to focus for all of them. So then you chavas liba b'achas. Then you should have kavana for one bracha. Now, if you would stop at this point, it sounds like at least pick one bracha. Pick the bracha maybe that will speak most to you, that will resonate most with you. If someone is sick at home, you have kavana and refa'inu. One's employment is precarious, you have kavana and baruch aleinu. If you're thinking about Mashiach, you have kavana and kabbash ofer. That's what the Braisa sounds like. But the Rabbi Chia, a second generation Amora, I'm sorry, yeah, Rabbi Chia, Amar Rabbi Chia, Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Chad, the Bei Rabbi, Ba'avos. Rabbi Chia quotes from Rav Safra the name of one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yonasi, that doesn't just mean any one bracha, it means specifically the one bracha. Bracha number one is the bracha of Avos, Magen Avram. So the Braisa says, the Braisa here in Lama Dalid says Kavana is ideal throughout all the brachas, but is only critical in the first bracha. And Tosfos is bothered. Tosfos, if you don't have a Gemara in front of you, it's not a Ma'amar Kavos, but you can make a note. Tosfos here in Lama Dalid Beis, Diba Maschi Yechavin, Tosfos is 1 second. How does this square with the first Gemara we just read? The first Gemara said, sound like that was a general. There's no specification, no limitation. We didn't say just one bracha. You have to have kona b'tefila. So that's Tosfos points out a steer between Lama and Lama Dalad. The Tosfos' answer is, Yesh lefaresh hasam nami b'achas man. Tosfos says, oh, that's what the Gemara meant to Lama Dalad base to. That's what we call sasam v'hatar kamar farish. The Tosfos says, we get the basic concept on Daf Lamed. And you keep learning the Masechta, you'll get to all the details. So the Lama Dal is filling the details of the basic concept of Daf Lamed. Yes, Kavanah is critical in Shemoneh Esrei. Kavanah is important and it's critical, but it's only really critical Li'ikuva in the first Bracha. That's Tosfos' approach. Take a look in the Ra'ah, on one of the great Talmidim of the Ramban, a contemporary of the Rajba. We have Chidush Ra'ah on only a couple of Masechtas, one of which is Brachas. If you take a look at Chidush Ra'ah, he gives a somewhat different answer, but along the lines of Tosfos as well. He seeks to explain how the two Gemaras work hand in hand. Let me ask you a question. If you accept Tosfos' approach, let's say you were Tosfos and you were writing a Shulchan Aruch. You were writing a Sefer Mitzvah Hakatan. One of the Kitsuri Halacha of the Balei Tosfos. You're writing a Halacha Sefer. How many entries would you have for these two Gemaras? One. What would it say? Kavanah for the first bracha. Kavanah is important, and it's critical in the first bracha. Okay. So that's what you expect a Sefer Halacha to say. And now let's take a look at a Sefer Halacha. Let's take a look at the Rambam. I mentioned the other day, the Rambam's Chidushim are going to be presented much more subtly because he's not writing Chidushim, wasn't trying to write Chidushim at all, nor was he trying to write Al Seder HaShas. He was just trying to give over the Maskanas of the Torah Shabbat Peh, of Shas and the rest of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Chidushim will often be presented very subtly, because he's not trying to tell you, oh, I have a different way of reading this. If you read between the lines, try to pull the pieces together, you notice something doesn't add up, there must be something else at work. So take a look. Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillah and Perek Yud of Hilchos Tefillah. Take a look at Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, Halacha Tezvav. Says, what do we mean by Kavanas Halev? Because he began the Perek. He began Perek Dalet. The title of Perek Dalet was, there are five things. Chamisha Dvar, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, Chamisha Dvar Ma'akmes HaTefillah, Afa Pishe Giyah Zmana. There are five, aside from Zman Tefillah, there are five elements that are critical to be Yotze, for an active tefillah to be a valid active tefillah. Or to be Yotze, there are five things which are critical. Parakeh, he has another eight which are ideal but not critical. So he has five things which are critical. Item number five is Kavanas Halev, which he gets up to in Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav. That's why he opens Kavanas Halev Ketzad. I mentioned before Kavana is critical in Shmoneh Esrei. You're not Yotze, Shmoneh Esrei, Kavana. How does that work? Kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana eina tefillah. In hispala below kavana, chozer hispala b'chavana. Tefillah without kavana is not a tefillah. If you hispala without kavana, you gotta be daven again with kavana. Motza daito mishubeshas. If I notice that my thoughts are scrambled, libo tarad, I'm distracted. Asur lo lehispala achet tizyashav daito. I should not be hispala until I calm myself. Right? What source is the Rambam quoting in Perek Dalet?
Brachos
Avlam, right? I think I mentioned in the past. Right? Rambam has his letter to Pinchas Adayan about the construction of Mishnah Torah. He says everything's a quote, every line. Unless I say Yeirah Eli, it seems to me, or unless I'm quoting my Rebbeim or the Gaonim, every line in Mishnah Torah is a quote of a Bavli or a Yerushalmi, a Mishnah, a Tosefta, a Medrash Halacha. So this is a quote from Brachos Avlam. Okay. Then you turn to Perek Yud. Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph.
Which Perek was this?
That was, well, we were just reading Perek Dalet. That was in the Mar Makam, was the bottom right corner. And now I look at the bottom left corner, Perek Asiri. He opens the 10th Perek deep, deep into the details. Vilchas Tefillah. He's already gone through the order of davening, how you daven b'yichidus, how you daven b'tzibur, and kaddish, and baruchu, and kedusha, and so on and so forth. And now, Perek Asiri, Misha hispavlo kines libo, a Jew davened without kavana, yachzor v'yispalo b'chavana. You got to daven again with kavana. V'im kivin libo b'bracha rishona, shuv enotzara. You had kavana the first bracha, then you do not have to go back and daven again. What's that a quote of?
Lamadal,
right? He quoted the Brisa, and then he quoted the, right, that's the Brisa with injecting the commentary of Yechia. Right, Kavana is critical, but Kivin Libo Ba'achas, and he already inserts, without Shach Vatari, he just inserted Yechia B'Shem, V'Safra B'Shem, Chaz Be'Rav, Ba'achas means Bracha Rishon, not Shuv Eino Tzarech. So what are you supposed to make of this?
Quoted both.
In two separate prakim. Not only the two entries, now there's two separate prakim. And for the Rambam, position is everything. Things that one of the things I mentioned in the past. the Rambam, in many ways, in Mishneh Torah, was continuing the glorious tradition of the Gaonim through the Rif of writing Kitsurim of the Gemara with three very significant changes. He added three new dimensions. One is that his corpus is much broader. He wasn't only quoting Bavli. With an occasional Yerushalmi, he's quoting liberally from Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Midrash Halacha, everything. Number two, his range is much broader because he's not only focused on Halacha Lamasa Bezman Hazeh, he's also looking at Kutshim and Taras and Zroam and Inyanei Hashkafa and Amunah. Number three, which is relevant for us, is that while the Gaonim and the Rif tried more or less to maintain the Seder and Yanim of the Gemara, occasionally the Rif will bring together all halachas of Duchening into one place, all halachas of Shatnas into one place. But more or less, I'll say to our Gemara, for the Rambam, Rambam started from scratch, created, devised a whole new way of organizing Torah Shvapen into 14 Svarim and 85 subsections, and everything has its place. And that was one of his goals. One of his stated goals was to bring order. The Torah Shvapen is largely conversational. Midrash HaLachar al Seder HaChumash. But the other works of Torah Shvapen, Bavli, Rishalmi, are conversational. And you go from topic to topic, from thing to thing. The Rambam wanted to, as he writes, he's trying to write something that was Mishnah style rather than Gemara style. That would be a chibur rather than a perish. Rather than being a conversation analysis, it would be a carefully crafted, organized presentation of bullet points, of maskanas. So the Rambam is very clear about things are where they belong. So he gave two different addresses to these two different Gemaras. As you see, Daf Lamed is Perek Dalet. Daf Lamed Dalet is Perek Yud. Clearly is not accepting Tosis's answer. That they're all, the two Gemaras are just saying the same thing and Sassim Hadar Kama Farsh. They're two different dinim in two different locations. Taka was the pshat. Taka was the pshat. So you begin to think about the fact that, well, it sounds like they're actually two different topics. Yeah. So they're in two different, proclamating in two different topics. So maybe he's not, but on the other hand, how are they two different topics? Both of them sound very similar. Having kavana. So Chaim points out that we would do well to look at context. Let's see what Perek Yud is about, and let's see how he explains himself in Perek Dalet. So the first thing is take a look at Perek Yud. He goes on, the Perek begins with this brisa of Lama Dalma Beis. Kavana is critical in the first bracha. Let's see where he goes from there. Mishatah ba'achas mishalosh brachas harishonos chozal rosh. If you made a mistake in one of the three first brachas of Shemona Esrei, you have to go back to the beginning. So if you, then he goes on to explain it. If you left the Masharuch Marag Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh, all those sorts of things, you automatically go back to the beginning of Shemona Esrei. But if you made a mistake later, then he gets involved in all the rules of what happened if you left out the same time to Levracha, what happened if you left out this, you left out that, you left a Yalav V'Yavo, and so on and so forth. That is, that's where the Rambam is headed in Perek Yud. The details, the nuts and bolts of the nitty-gritty critical details, but details of Shemona Esrei. So right away you notice that he's contextualizing Perek Daf Lamed Daled, the second din, the Kavana, which is critical only in Bracha Rishona, as a detail. And now let's turn back to Perek Daled. And let's keep reading. Yeah, but I think it was Rabbi Eitan Orlin who once told me that the answers often lie in the Vaitrinus. Let's go a little weiter in Halacha Tezvav. Halacha Tezayin. Perek Dal Halacha Tezayin. Ketzad hi HaKavana. What do we mean, the Rambam, going back to the first Kavana, the Kavana which is critical throughout Shemona Esrei. What is this Kavana? Question mark. So let's stop for a moment and ask ourselves how we would answer the question. Let's take a look how the Rambam answers the question. If I said to you, well, what does it mean to have kavana? What would help you have kavana? So what does it mean to have kavana in the bracha refainu?
Think about sick people.
I think about sick people. Think about the fact that I'm sick and I want to be healthy. Think about the fact that I am healthy. I want to stay healthy. I have a parent, a grandparent, someone else. I'm hoping they'll get healthy, stay healthy, so on and so forth. Right? Yeah, kavana in Atachonein, you're hoping for insight. Insight into something you're studying, insight into Torah that you're learning, insight into people, whatever it is. Right? Kavana Kaba Shofar, we're davening for Mashiach. Kavana Hashiva Shoftein, we're davening for ideal Jewish leadership, and so on and so forth. Art scroll, sax, the solar pool, right? Whatever it is that you think of. You think of kavana as meaning knowing what the words mean. And what would help you would be maybe a translation or just looking inside the siddur to focus on the words that you're saying. But let's read how the Rambam answers. Ketzari Akavana, Perek Dala Lachatazayin, Ketzari Akavana, Shifane Libo Mikal Machshavos, clear your mind of extraneous thoughts, the year at Atzma Kiluhu Omilifne Ashkina, to visualize yourself, to see yourself as though you're standing in front of Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm always standing in front of Ribbono Shel Olam. As though I'm standing in front of the Shechina. As though I'm standing in front of some sort of supernatural light that indicates the more intense presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lefikach tzarech leishev ma'at kodem atfila, Rambam writes, that's why, because you need to have this kavana, therefore you should sit down before you daven, don't just rush in and jump right into Shema Esrei. Stop, take a deep breath, get off the treadmill, kidei l'chaven es libo, so that I'm focused. And then yispalel b'nachas v'sachanunim. And then I'll daven calmly, I'll daven with a sense of real bikush. And goes on to talk about this idea. I'm not trying to take, I shouldn't daven in a way that makes it seem like I'm just trying to get it over with. I'm engaging with it. What was missing? Now he's already getting into how to have kavana. In terms of what kavana was, right. What kavana was only amid lefnei Hashem, amid lefnei Hashkina. Not a word about the content of the tefillah. Reb Chaim suggests in the Chidushim of Rambam, Perek Dalet, right over here, Reb Chaim says, you know what the answer is? The Rambam apparently thinks that the word kavana can mean one of two different things, and the two Gemaras are talking about the two different types of kavana. And the Rambam quotes both of them in two different places. Because they're two different dinim, two different issues. They're both questions of focus, but focus on what? So Reb Chaim suggests that the less critical kavana, ironically, the kavana that's a detail, an important detail, but in the parak of details, parak yud, that's kavana's pirush hamilos. It's certainly important to think about what you're saying, but that was daflam and dal. Thinking what you're saying is very important. It's still a little silly to daven that thing of what you're saying, but you'll be yotze as long as you had kavana in the first bracha. So if I said rifa'inu without thinking about anyone's health or sickness, I'm still yotze. Kavana's pirush hamilos is important, but only critically ma'akev in bracha rishona. That's daflam and dalet. That's kavana type 2. Kavana type 1 has nothing to do with content. Kavana type 1 is amida lifnei Hashem, to recognize the fact that I am talking to God. Wow. And that's more critical. So many of us work in Kavanah number 2, we don't really focus at all on Kavanah number 1. Forget about what it is that you're saying, to focus on to whom you're speaking. You are speaking to someone. You're speaking to Melech Malchim, Melech Malchim, Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Kavanah is critical throughout. And there's a mamash, a one line, maybe it's even less than one line, Reb Chaim, when he to explain this idea, he opens up a world of appreciation of tefillah. He says, he accesses a larger halachic concept. He says, you know why kavanas amid lefnei Hashem is ma'akev throughout tefillah? He says, because without it, you're a misasik. If you don't have kavana that you're being over lefnei Hashem, you're a misasik. What's a misasik? What's a misasik? So we know when we think about intentionality in halacha, we know that there's mezid and shogig, right? A fellow, Rachman Litzlan, he knows that today is Shabbos, and he knows that it's an Isur, it's a Malacha Daraisa to water the plants on Shabbos, and he waters them anyways, so that's Chil Shabbos B'mezit. Skila Karas, right? He knows what he's doing, he knows that it's wrong, that's Chil Shabbos B'mezit. What's Shogig? So Shogig is, you woke up from your nap, you fell asleep on the deck, and hopefully a couple of months from now, Shabbos after a warm, long Shabbos afternoon, you fell asleep on the deck, the fellow wakes up, he's still a little bit foozled, he's lost track of what day it is, and he grabs a watering can and starts watering the plants, and he goes, Gevalt, it's Shabbos. And he didn't realize, I thought it was Sunday afternoon. And, or, he knew it's Shabbos, no one ever told you, he didn't realize that it's Usher to water the plants on Shabbos. He knew you can't write on Shabbos, can't turn the lights on Shabbos. He didn't know Allah wore the plants. Right? So if he didn't realize what he's doing is aser, that's shogeg. Chayiv chatos rather than karis or skil. But then there's an even lower level. Because shogeg clearly is still an aveira. You need kapara. You have to bring carbon chatos. Not as severe an aveira as mezid, But shogeg is still an avera. But there's an even lower level where there's no onesh whatsoever, and that is misasik. Misasik is where it's not that what's missing is I didn't realize what I'm doing is aser, but rather that I didn't realize what I'm doing. For instance, the Gemara has some humorous examples. So imagine I'm sitting again the same long, warm Shabbos afternoon, but I came in from the deck, and the window is open. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and we have time to in a relaxed fashion to get ready for Shal Shittas. So I'm slicing tomatoes. I have some tomatoes in the vine. We'll cover the Shabbos, get some nicer tomatoes. You slice tomatoes in the vine, we'll cover the Shabbos, we'll cover the Shal Shittas. And then after you start slicing the tomato, you notice that this is like really on the vine. As in, the vine is attached to this tomato and it goes out the window and down into the soil. You didn't even realize when you were slicing the tomato that you were not just slicing the tomato in half, you were detaching half the tomato from the ground. You thought you were slicing a detached tomato. You were actually doing kotzer. But it's not that you didn't realize that kotzer was also, you didn't realize it was Shabbos. I didn't realize that I was doing kotzer. Or a Jew walks around with something in his pocket outside of an eruv. At the end of Shabbos, he sticks his hands in his pockets and realizes that he had something in his pockets all Shabbos. Didn't even realize. So it's an issur drabbanan. You're violating a din drabbanan. I mean, drabbanan mechuyav to check your pockets before Shabbos. If you can be in an area without an eruv. But I violated that lo yetzei chayit b'machto samal chashecha, a din drabbanan. But l'mashmish is begadav. But I did not do any malacha daraisa whatsoever. Not even a chatas. Why not? I was carrying in Rosh Hashanah Rabban Bol Shabbos long. The answer is that's not shogeg. That's misasik. It's not that I didn't realize what I was doing was aser. Instead, I didn't realize what I was doing. I lacked kavanas pu'ula. If you lacked kavanas pu'ula, if I wasn't aware of the action I was performing, I'm not chayiv at all. Not even a chatas. Again, this mezid, and then shogeg, and the lowest level is misasik. Now there's a machlokas Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Nesivis, the Chavis Das, why is this true? Why is misasik potter? So one approach is that it's like a more extreme shogeg, and it's like a super shogeg. So that's a patur onshin, a potter from any onsh whatsoever. But the other approach is not just a patur onshin, but it's fundamental. If you don't realize what you're doing, then it's as though you didn't do it. It's as though the action got done on its own. There's no tziruf of the pu'ula to the poel, of the masa to the osa, if there's no kavanas pu'ula. I would suggest, that's also machlokas as an aside, Rashi Tos, beginning the second paragraph. Brachas, I believe?
What's the machlokas? Between who?
The Rekiveger and the Chavis Das. The Nesivis. Nesivis is safer. Yeshiva guys call them the Nesivis. Because it's safer in Chosh Mishpah's Nesivis. It's safer in Yardea is Chavis Das. So Rekiveger called them, I believe, the Baal Chavis Das.
Who
says which? I believe the Chavis Das is Patur Onshin. Maybe Kiva Eger is one who says it's fundamental. I don't remember for sure. I got to check it up. Kiva Eger has a tshuva where he quotes the Chavis Das and disagrees with him. It's L'chora Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, beginning of the second paragraph of Brachas about Shema. And Reb Chaim appears to, again, without it, all everything that happened in the last 5 minutes is half a line of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim takes a stand on this issue. Because Reb Chaim said, and then we'll pause after we finish this thought for questions. Reb Chaim says, you know why Kavana number one is Ma'akiv the whole tefillah? You know why, if you weren't aware that you're talking to the Lord, your Shemona Esrei didn't count at all, any part of it? Because you're a Misasik. Meaning what? Meaning Reb Chaim is understanding that Misasik is not only relevant to Averis, but to Mitzvahs as well. Which clearly means he's taking the more robust approach to misasik. It's not just a patur onshin, correct. Not just, I believe, Rukiv Eger, I'm 100% sure. Not only a patur onshin, but it's ki'ilu lo asa. So if I did not aveira without kavanas pu'ula, so I don't get any onish because ki'ilu, I didn't do the aveira. It doesn't relate to me. It was as though it were done on its own. Same is going to be true for mitzvahs as well. I did a mitzvah, b'misasik, It's ki'ilu l'alasi. Take a look. Rashi told us at the beginning of the second paragraph of Bracha, it sounds like they're arguing about whether or not the din of misasik, what the status of misasik b'kriyashma is. And Reb Chaim is assuming such a thing by tefillah. If I davened without kavanas pu'ula, it's as though I didn't daven. And that explains, by the way, looking back halacha tezvav, parida halacha tezvav, the Rambam, there was excess verbiage which now falls into place. He said, if you daven without kavanah, you got to daven again with kavanah. But that was line two. Perek Dalach et Hezvav, line one was, Kol tefillah she'ein b'kavana ein tefillah. A tefillah kavana is not a tefillah, and therefore, if you daven without kavana, I can read daven. Why do you have to make this sort of intrinsic statement first? The answer is what Reb Chaim said. Because it's not just, it happens to be, it's ma'akev. The reason why it's ma'akev is because this is not a tefillah. You daven without noticing that you're davening, it's not a tefillah. So far, so good? But let's think about this one more second, and then you've been waiting very patiently for a question.
Says that in
Perek Dalet. But let's just think about this for one more moment. Let's take this one more logical step. The Reb Chaim is telling us, Kavan number one, if you're missing Kavan number one, it's Ki'ilu lo hispala at all. It's not a tefillah because you were misasik. You lack Kavanas pu'ula. Let's take that one more logical step. But what does that mean? I came to shul, I opened a siddur, I davened. Right? I said all the words. I knew I was saying the words of Shema Esrei. I even knew what I was talking about health and about money and about Parnassa and about Mashiach and about personal tzaris, about tshuva and growth. I knew it. I didn't know I was davening. What you see is, what is the pu'ula of tefillah? It's not reciting words. I knew I was reciting words. It's not asking for specific things. I knew I was asking for specific things. The definition of what tefillah is relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is. If I knew I was saying the words of Shema Esrei, I knew I was talking at different topics, but I was unaware of the fact that I am face-to-face with Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't realize that I was being mispalel. Because to be mispalel is to be face-to-face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest is details. In other words, let me give a mashal. You sit down with someone to meet for the first time. Right? A potential client, a potential vendor, a potential business contact. Right? Or a date with a young woman. Or the first time you meet a friend. Right? So you're going to sit down and talk. Now, oftentimes the content is very significant. But typically, what's even more important than the content is the vibe. The fact that we're spending time together and we're beginning to build a relationship. Like, think back to a good friend. Think about a good friend that you've had for a number of years. Do you remember the first time you met? Maybe. Do you remember what you spoke about the first time you met? On the playground, whoever it was? Probably not. Because what you spoke about, the content of the conversation, was secondary to the fact that you were having a conversation, the fact that you were interacting. It would be weird to just sit down for coffee and stare at each other and not say anything, right? There's going to be the method, the way you have that meeting is you talk about stuff. And usually not random things, there'll be substantive things to talk about. And sometimes you actually accomplish a lot in terms of the substance. But beyond the substance, there's the spending time together. So what Reb Chaim is telling us is that the definition of tefillah is not asking for things. The definition of tefillah is sitting down for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day. You don't just stand there and stare. You sit down with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a lot to talk about. If you believe that He runs the entire universe, and all of your needs ultimately ride on His decisions, so of course there's a lot to talk about. And this is the perfect opportunity to do so. But the essence of what tefillah is Amidah Lefnei Hashem. If I know that was Omer Lefnei Hashem, I'm not a misasik. Even though I don't know what the words were. I knew I was saying some text or another to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm still Omer Lefnei Hashem. I know that I'm being misbal. It's not ideal to say words Ribbono Shel Olam, not know what I'm talking about. So clearly, Perek Yud of Hilchos Tevilah, Daf Lama Dalad, obviously, Kavanas Pirush Hamilas, Kavanah type 2, is very important in Shemona Esrei, right? It's only really Ma'akev in Bracha Rishona. Because I'm not a misasik if I don't know what I'm saying. If I don't know that I am davening, i.e., I don't know, I'm not cognizant the fact that I am speaking to God, then I was not aware of the fact that I was being mispal. I knew I was saying words, but saying words isn't tefillah. Tefillah is amid lefnei Hashem. There are more nafkaminas in this idea, both in Lamdas and Lamaisa, but that's Reb Chaim's approach to b'miyashev, the stira in Gemara is lefi HaRambam, different than Tosas and the Ra'ah, and already we come up with a broad, beautiful, powerful idea of a clear and surprising definition of what tefillah is. Noam, you have been waiting very patiently for a long time.
So where does Misasik fall in regards to Onis?
Where does Misasik fall in regards to Onis? That's two different things. We'll get to Onis Mitch tomorrow when we get back to about the end of the second paragraph of Kama. Onis is a question of I'm not choosing to do it. Here we're talking about how aware are you.
It's worse than onus, yeah.
Misasik might be even less than onus in a sense. Correct. You could have some of the same questions about onus rachmana patre also. Is it a putur onshin or is it something more than that? If I was onus sokilu asab, it may be parallel to misasik, but it's different. And onus is a lack of ratzon. I'm not choosing to do it. Misasik is a mental issue, not a question of will, but a question of cognition. But I like the parallel. Yeah.
So we see here we separate it into two different types of kavana. One's being talked about in Perek Dal, and one's being talked about in Perek Yud.
Mm-hmm.
And we pointed out that the Rambam's language is so strong in Perek Dal because that's the more important type of kavana, right?
The Rambam's language is more broad in Perek Dal. Perek Dal is the one that's right.
Because that's right.
That's so, Makiv in the whole too.
Right. So could we say that maybe the Rambam says a similar thing to what Rabbi Kidegar holds, that a Misasik is fundamentally Pater, like, as opposed to the Mesivos?
Yes, no, I think Reb Chaim, in explaining the Rambam, when he says this is based on Misasik, I absolutely.
Right, can we say the Rambam said that?
That's how Reb Chaim is reading the Rambam. Right. I think it's already in Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, beginning of the second paragraph of Brachas. It sounds like they're debating whether if you said Kriya Shema b'Misasik, are you Yotzi or not? So that's Lohar the same. It's the same nafkamina. Whether Misasik b'mitzvahs is Yatza or Lo Yatza should depend on whether it's merely Ptoronshin or Ki'u Lo Asa. Any questions from online? Again, feel free to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Rabbi. So what does it mean then?
Thanks, Doris.
Do I just have to say in my head, I'm standing in front of Hashem, but I'm in Shul, I'm standing in front of Hashem, do I just have to tell myself that? Or like, what do I have to feel in terms of
right, so that's a good question. You want to know how that translates practically? Let's hold off on practicalities for just a moment. As advertised, let's. I want to get ultimately to practicalities. Let's take a look at one or two more nafkaminas, and we have one more question from a sponsor. Yeah, Horowitz Ventures.
It's sort of a two-faceted question.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully will be answered with one answer. What, within the shitas of the Chavos Davar, I don't understand, what's the shita? His shita is that it's pater me'onshin because it's pater me'onshin.
So I don't want to get too involved in that point, but the less radical approach to Misasek is that it is your Misa, but it's like a super shogeg. Not only you didn't realize it's us, you didn't realize what you're doing. You're such a, it's an extra strong shogeg, so strong you don't even need a carbon chattas. But it is my, it's not that it's not my masa, and therefore by a mitzvah it would still be valid. Whereas the more radical approach to misasik is to say it's not just a question of chiyavonshin, it's a question of how we define maisa and halacha, which is something we'll be grappling with as we get into the second paragraph of Avakama, Yishur Shem Chitzav and the end. It had different issues of defining Maisa versus Grama, defining Maisa, Adam, and Halacha. So this could be one of them. It's a question of, when there's such a severe lack of Kavana, maybe it's not my Maisa at all.
And our Halacha Maisa, or not even our Halacha Maisa, our concept of Tfilos and Nafamina between Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Eger, Chavos Davar?
It may be. Sir, Reb Chaim points out that the Rambam seems to be assuming like the Rabbi Akiva, Eger approach. Here's another. Let me give you two other nafkaminas in this idea, and then we'll bring it home. to Lamasa. That's the Lamasa. That's the Lamasa. So Reb Chai, Brisker Rav had a Talmud, Reb Ari Leib Harmarantchik, who grew up in the town of Brisk and learned by Brisker Rav for many years. We have three svarim of his. One on Brachas and Moed called Emek Bracha, one on Zra'im called Torah Zra'im, and one that was published more recently on a variety of topics called Yehege HaAryeh. They're lion roars, because his name was Aryeh. So in Emek Bracha, he discusses Reb Chaim, and he points out this may solve another problem as well, a problem, a kasha that the Ravid has on the Rambam. It's really, in a sense, less a kasha on the Rambam, more a kasha on the Gemara. But either way, it's a strong kasha that the Ravid asks. The din is, if I make a mistake, I left out Ritzay in benching. I left the Alviyava on benching on a day that they are ma'akev. Or I left out Yalviyavo and Shmasre, a day that's ma'akev. What's the din? Okay. Usually the din is you have to say all the brachas in order. So you weren't, if you left out a critical aspect of that particular bracha, you weren't yotze that bracha, you got to repeat it. And if you already went another few brachas ahead, you got to repeat that bracha, then repeat all the brachas afterwards, because all the brachas have to be said al ha-seder. Right? So if I realized in the middle of Modim, I finished Modim, Hatov Shemukho Chol Na'al Lahodos, and then I realized, ooh, I didn't say Yal V'Yavo, and it's Yom Tov. Okay, so I have to repeat, I wasn't Yotze Ritze, I have to repeat Ritze, and I have to repeat Modim, because I can't be Yotze Modim before Ritze. Okay. If I finish the whole Shemon Esrei, so then it's no longer a question of going back to the spot that I... the particular bracha that I messed up on. Once I finish my Shemon Esrei, so then the Shemon Esrei stands as a unit, now I have to be Chozel Rosh, repeat the whole Shemon Esrei again. And the same ought to be true for benching. Here's what's difficult, though. When it comes to benching, if I left out Ritzay, the first two Sudas of Shabbos, or I left out Yal V'Yavo, on Yom Tov, those are the days and times for which it's their Me'akev, as the Gemara has the rule, if you're Mechuyev to eat bread, on that particular Shabbos Yom Tov meal, then the Yal V'Yavo would say is Ma'akev. So let's say I'm in the middle of the fourth bracha, and I realize I left out Ritzei Yal V'Yavo. I'm in the middle of the Harachamans. So where do I go back to? Not to Rachem, I go back to the beginning. Why? Because they say, look, the core Birkas HaMazon is the first three brachas, the fourth bracha is a later addition, a later takana biyavna, but sort of like it's like a bracha that you say after benching. The benching itself, Birkas HaMazon, the first three brachas. So you say, once you finish the first three, but you're ready into the fourth bracha, we say, you can't just go back to Rachim, you already completed benching, now benching stands as a unit, Chozer LaRosh. Why is it, asks the Ravid, that we don't say the same thing if you're in Elokai Netzar? Gemara says, Rabban quotes to the Gemara, a Jew typically says additional tachanunim after tefillah, after Avarach Tam Yisrael Bashalom. We're all regilim loma tachanun machat tefillah seinu. We all say Elkai Netzar, whatever else you want to add, Elkai Netzar. So Gemara says, if you remember in the middle of Elkai Netzar that you left something out, Ritzev, Saint Tamar Tavrach, whatever it is, just go back to that bracha. It's only after you take your three steps back that you're Chozer LaRosh. Frek the Ravid, I don't understand. Why are Shemona Esrei and Birkas HaMazon different? It should be the other way around. The fourth bracha of benching is a required part of benching. And still we say, you finish the core three brachas, you got to be Chozel Rosh. And meanwhile here, the Kain Tzor is not even required at all. It's like HaRachamans. It's an old minhag to say it. It's not a halachically required part of the tefillah, and yet I'm still be'emtza tefilasi when I'm saying Elokai Netzar, more than I am be'emtza Birkas HaMazon when I'm saying the fourth bracha. How could that be? The Rebbe is very, very bothered. Why am I considered be'emtza tefillah if I already finished all the halachically mandated brachos of Shemona Esrei? Again, why is it that if I realize in the middle of Elokai Netzar that I left out something in Shemona Esrei, we don't say, you're done with Shemona Esrei, Chozer LaRosh. No. You're still in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Just go back to the bracha that you ruined and pick up from there. Says, Emek Bracha, with Reb Chaim, I understand well. Because Reb Chaim told us, as we were developing before, that the definition of tefillah is not recitation. The definition, the text is not the definition of tefillah. It's not to say a certain text. It's not to say a certain brachas. Definition of tefillah is be omer lefnei Hashem. What I do when I'm omer lefnei Hashem, at the very least, is say a certain text. That's the minimum text necessary to be said while I'm being omer lefnei Hashem. But the tefillah itself is the Amida. It says emek bracha. In that case, Shmoneh Esrei is extendable. The minimum text I say are the 19 brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. But if I'm continuing to say other tachanunim, that's I'm continuing to be omer lefnei Hashem. I am still being mispalel, even though I'm no longer saying the official nusach that Chazal are masakin. Whereas Birkas HaMazon is not a mitzvah being omer lefnei Hashem. Birkas HaMazon is uverachta. It's a mitzvah to say brachos. That is a mitzvah recitation. So once I said the three core brachas of Birkas HaMazon, I'm done with Birkas HaMazon. Now I'm saying the things I say after Birkas HaMazon. But at that point, I have to be Chozer LeRosh. That's additional nafkamina number one. Additional nafkamina number two, I would suggest the following. Hilchas Yom Kippur. Simen Tafresh Yud Gimel Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on the first mission, last parak of Yuma, that there are several additional Isurim on Yom Kippur, the Sha'ari Nuyim, aside from eating and drinking. First of which is washing. You're not allowed to wash latanud, but you're allowed to wash if you need to clean off the dirt. Right? So if my hands are dirty, my hands are soiled, I fell in the mud, I'm allowed to wash off whatever, I'm allowed to wash off the dirt, but I can't just wash for pleasure. If it's for a particular tzorech, that's not latanud, that's mutter. Right? We know about washing until it's 9 in the morning. So Shulchan Aruch has a discussion, a fellow leaves the bathroom. So if your hands are soiled, of course you can wash them. Let's say a person uses the bathroom, his hands are still clean. His hands are still clean, his hands are still antiseptic. Right? So then Shulchan Aruch, well, even if your hands are absolutely clean and spotless, you have the right to wash your hands if you're going to be mispalel afterwards, because you have to wash your hands for tefillah. Now, the question is, Yom Kippur, I'm always about to be mispalel. I'm davening all day long. That's the answer is, yeah, but if you came home at night after Ma'ariv, and your fellow uses the bathroom before going to bed, so you're going to wash in Negel Vasa in the morning anyways before you daven Shacharis. So it's at that point, Shulchan Aruch says, that if your hands are actually clean, you have the right to wash them. If your hands are dirty, of course, you can wash them. If your hands are clean, since you're not about to be mispalel, you don't have the right to wash them. You have the right to wash them in advance of tefillah. Frek the Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch and Tafrei Shud Gimel. I don't understand. But even at night after Ma'ariv, you're going to say Asher Yotzar. You're going to come out of the bathroom and say Asher Yotzar. So you have to wash your hands in advance of Asher Yotzar. No. So the answer to the Chara is, I think, based on Shreb Chaim, no. No. Because as the Haggadah Maimini in Hilchos Shvisas Asor, Halachos Yom Kippur, quotes from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, This idea of washing your hands in advance of tefillah, even Yom Kippur, is based on a pasuk from Treyasar, Hikon Likras Elokecha Yisrael. Jews are supposed to make hachanas, prepare Likras Elokecha, to go to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So based on Chaim, we would say, that's tefillah. Tefillah is the element of Lefnei Hashem, which is not present by other brachas. Other brachas is, metaphorically speaking, like calling on the phone. But tefillah is ki'ilu, metaphorically speaking, a face-to-face meeting. And there's a world of difference between a phone call and a face-to-face meeting. We've all experienced that difference. That's the difference between other brachos and Shmoneh Esrei. Question? No question.
He just gave this year, so...
I understand. So here we have a concept that Reb Chaim sees in the Rambam. And again, the way in which the nuance with which the Rambam quotes the two Gemaras, that unlike Tosfos, he sees these two Gemaras talk about two different types of Kavana, an important Kavana of Firush HaBilos, and an absolutely critical Kavana of Amid Lefnei Hashem. And that's for Reb Chaim says the Rambam saying, that's definitional. Tefillah is Amid Lefnei Hashem. That's why Kavana Amid Lefnei Hashem is Ma'akev throughout, because otherwise you're a Mesasik. That's why Shemoneh Esrei is extendable in a way that Birkas HaMazon is not, because it's not a mitzvah to say a text, to recite brachas It's the mitzvah of Bina Omer L'fnei Hashem. And that's perhaps why only Shmona Esrei requires an element of hachana. The notion of washing hands even if they're clean. The notion of dressing for davening. I'm not mechuyev to get all dressed up to say a bracha. You have to be minimally dressed to say a bracha. But to daven Shmona Esrei, you have to put yourself together. Put on a nice shirt. Perhaps put on a jacket. Tuck yourself in. Because as the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siman Tzadi Aleph, you're about to be Omer L'fnei Melech. So even the way you physically prepare yourself captures that idea. And now finally, we come back. I'm glad to take a question after this. And finally, we come back to where we started. We started with practical questions. What is tefillah? Which one is the real tefillah? Will the real tefillah please stand up? Right? Is tefillah saying a lot of words and a whole big siddur and a machzer? Or is tefillah like Reb Nachman's Hishtapkos HaNefesh? And the tefillah is Reb Nachman, you just you talk. You sit and talk to the Rosh Hashanah. Just free conversation with the Rosh Hashanah. You express what's on your mind. Talk to Hashem your own language. You don't have to be a Breslover to talk your own language. Classical poskim before the Breslov also talk about adding your own bakashas and your own terminology. But which one is it? But which one is it? So I think this is where Reb Chaim and Reb Chaim of Brisk and Reb Nachman of Breslov come together. Because Reb Chaim gave us the key through a steer in Rambam's to understanding Reb Nachman. There is no steer. And here's the deepest irony, is that from breaking down Kavana to Tudinim, we end up finding the unity in Tefillah. Because fundamentally, those are Tefillah. Tefillah is Amid L'fnei Hashem. Both of those are forms of Amid L'fnei Hashem. Chazal or Masakin, a certain minimum of Amid L'fnei Hashem. And that's where going back to the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Rambam says that the Din Daraisa of davening at least once a day, every day, Midrabani daven three times a day. And he says, for the first 1,000 years of Jewish prayer, from Moshe until Ezra, every Jew had to daven. You could, every Jew had to face towards the Makkah Mikdash and daven, but you could, once there was a Mikdash, but you would figure out when, you figure out what you're going to say. Rambam writes, 1,000 years later, the time of Shiva Tzion, Ezra and Akshay Sekudah realized that it's no longer viable to just tell people everyone should write their own tefillah every day. So they established a certain minimum text. So they structured tefillah more. But that structure is a floor, it's not a ceiling. And the structure should never take the place of what the thing itself is. Tefillah remains Amid L'fnei Hashem. But Chazal said, much as, let's say, the Rambam and the Ramban have this idea, the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos says that there's a din d'oraisa of Shabboson, which in Magen Mishnah there are quotes from the Ramban, it means to make sure that Shabbos is Shabbostic, to avoid technically not doing malachas, but lamasa having a very weekday vachadika style day. The Rambam says that's a din d'oraisa, and therefore Chazal set up all the din d'rabbanan of things you can't do on Shabbos. What you mean is the d'oraisa of the d'rabbanan. So Magen Mishnah says that's the Ramban. There's a din d'oraisa of ensuring that the day of the Shabbos day. Minat Torah, I could, each person figure out what am I going to do to make sure that's a Shabbos day a day. At some point Chazal said we need some structure. So Chazal said at the very least, here are an additional set of rules to keep muktzah and this and that and not doing malacha the shinui and so on and so forth that will minimal structure to ensure that our Shabbos is really Shabbos day. There would be mekayim not only avoiding the lava of malacha d'oraisa, but mekayim that say d'oraisa of Shabbos. But I could do that's one particular way of going about fulfilling the mitzvah. It's a structure to help me keep the mitzvah. I may want to add more structure. So the mitzvah is Amid L'fnei Hashem. The mitzvah is to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal said, the very from Ezra and on, at the very least, your encounters with your daily encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will include the text of Shmona Esrei. That's the minimum. But the sky's the limit. And when Chazal said, Olavai she'espal adam kol yom kulo, halavai a Jew would daven all day long, they probably didn't mean that you would say Shmona Esrei so slowly or so many times that you're saying Shmona Esrei 24 hours a day. But they meant that you would build, presumably they meant you off of the matrix, off of the foundation of the text of Shema Esrei, you would build more and more and more Amid Lefnei Hashem. So a practical thought, Gant should ask before, so how do you translate this idea into practice? What should this mean for us going forward, Lamasa? We're going to daven Mincha, we're going to daven Mar, we're going to daven Shachris tomorrow. So for 2 minutes a week, for 8 minutes a month, you could probably transform your Judaism. 8 minutes over the next month. Imagine if you tried the following. And the truth, and this may sound a little out there until you realize this is standard halacha, Maimonidean text. Imagine if after Gal Yisrael, or after answering to Kaddish, before Shemon Esrei of Mincha or Maariv, we sort of naturally then go into Shemon Esrei. Right? Imagine you stopped for 5 seconds. 5 seconds is not so long until you're doing nothing and you are about to do something. And all of a sudden it seems endless. Just 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 seconds doing nothing except take a few deep breaths and just think about the fact that I am about to talk face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No deep Kabbalistic kavanas, except that deep Kabbalistic, simple and deep Kabbalistic Kavanah. Think about the fact that I'm about to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gewalt! I, little me, mortal man, I'm about to be face-to-face with Melech 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 Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to be listening to me. I'm about to sit down for coffee with God. Just a few deep breaths and think about that simple, profound idea. It can change your Shemoneh Esrei. It might not change Shemoneh Esrei the first time. Maybe it'll change it a little bit and then it sort of dies out. But if you do this consistently, again, 5 seconds, I'm asking for 15 seconds a day. I know we're busy people, but I imagine we could find 15 seconds in our day. Right? 15 seconds a day is less than 2 minutes a week. That's less than 8 minutes a month. Less than 8 minutes. You could get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan with 8-9 minutes of this. But if you do it every single day, it's transformative. A few deep breaths, just stop. And just the exercise of stopping. We're always on a treadmill. Even when we're davening, we're like always this moving from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. Just stop. Take a deep breath. And another one. I'm about to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. 5 seconds of meditation before the after the meditation of Kriya Shema, before the meditation of Shemoneh Esrei. And the truth is, if this sounds like a little funny and out there, which is taking deep breaths and focusing, let's close with the language of the Rambam. Halacha Tezayin. From the top. Ketari HaKavana, this Lomdishir Rambam. What sort of Kavana are we angling for? What does this look like? Ketzad. How is that? What does this actually look like? Sheifaneh libo mikol machshavos. You clear your mind of all extraneous thoughts. V'yira atzmo, and then you focus on the meditate on the following thought. Ki iluhu om lefnei hashchina, as though I were standing before the light that indicates the increased presence of an intense presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lefikach tzarich leishev ma'at koed matfila. Stop for a moment before Shemoneh Esrei, kidei lechavein es libo, in order to stop for a moment to focus your mind and your heart. And then, and then you could daven in a relaxed, unhurried, and prayerful way. Don't daven as though you were carrying something heavy on your back. Mashlicho v'holach is when I get it done with, get it off my back. Oh, it's weighing down on me. And that's why tzaruch leishev ma'at acharat tefila acharipata. That's why you don't run out the moment you're done. A few deep breaths afterwards too. And he says, shachazinim rishonim, quoting from the Mishnah, the early great tzaddikim of yesteryear, hayu shoen shah kodem atfila shah acharat tefila, marichim betfila shah. They, mamish, that was very, very, a lot of extensive preparation before, building up, and then coming down afterwards. We don't have quite as much. We do have Psukei de Zimra, we have Ashrei Valetzim. We do have some preparation before and some coming down afterwards. Not quite the same, not to the same extent. That's all right. That's the Madrega Chassidim HaRishonim. That's not an Ikra Din. But the concept is there. And the Leishev Ma'at, Kodem HaTfilah, that's exactly what we're talking about. 5 seconds. 5 seconds, 15 seconds a day. Try it and see what happens. Rabbi Yisrael Shekach. Oh, yeah.